I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And thank you so much again for coming back. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating.
We really appreciate it. It really does make a huge difference for us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
So, I want to just jump right in because this is probably the craziest thing I've ever researched, because I must have watched these videos 25 times, and I am just so excited. And I do want to point out that this was actually a listener suggestion. Jessica in New York suggested it for us.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I am so glad that she suggested it, because this is bizarre.
Yes. Thank you, Jessica.
Yes. Thank you for reaching out and suggesting a case. All right. So, are you ready to talk about Brian Schaefer?
I am, because you don't usually get too, like, over-the-top excited like you have on this one. So, I want to know what you know.
I know. I've been dying to not text you the last 2 weeks to be like, oh, my goodness, you need to read, but I didn't want you to.
Yeah. Well, I kind of saw your thesis on it, too.
Yeah.
And I was, like, interested.
So, I have, like, pages. Okay. So, Brian was, I'm going to just jump into a little bit of a backstory. He was born in 1979. There's not a whole lot about his childhood out there, but I do know that he was in a super close family. It was him, his brother Derek, his dad Randy, and his mom Renee. So he was actually super smart. So he was in medical school, actually, when he went missing. But at the time, he had a great girlfriend named Alexis, who everyone thought he was going to propose to. But here's one of the things that is really interesting about him. For him, medical school was literally a means to an end. He was kind of a free spirit and dreamed of living that Jimmy Buffett lifestyle.
Who doesn't?
Right, I know. But playing a guitar and managing a bar on an island somewhere. And I mean, seriously, goals.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he fits the bill of, like, the really focused, grounded. And I don't mean that as an insult in any way. Just, like,
no, I think he actually was, as, like, a, I'm going to be like this until I can retire and then go live on an island.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And totally want that life.
Like, it was literally a means to an end to him. He was like, I'm going to do this until I don't have to. But either way, so we get to spring of 2006. Brian is 27. He had actually just turned 27, actually, in February. We're going to talk about March. His family actually suffered a really big loss. His mom, Renee, passed away on March 6th after a battle with cancer.
Wow, it's too young.
Yeah, so young. And everything I've read has been like Derek, his brother, him and his dad, Randy, kind of banded together during this time and, like, leaned on each other. And, you know, it seemed like he was coping pretty well. I mean, as well as you can to be losing your mom. And it looks like after this, spring break was just 3 weeks away. So he actually bought a flight for him and his girlfriend to go to Miami for a few days, just to kind of get out of Ohio and enjoy the sand, because he loved it. And I also think probably for him, it was probably really a mental break, you know, like going through all that.
Sure.
So anyway, they were going to leave Monday morning, April 3rd, 2006. That was their plan. Spring break started. Let's go to Miami, right?
Sure.
So Brian actually never made his flight. So let's back up a minute to Friday, March 31st, 2006. Friday afternoon, classes end and spring break starts. And we all know that feeling if you went to college. Like, you cannot wait to get the heck out of Dodge. Am I wrong?
Yep, that's an understatement.
Right? Like, the minute that last final is, or midterm is over, you are like, I am out.
Yeah, it's like I'm the road runner and I'm kicking up dust, moving faster than my legs.
Agreed. So Alexis actually went out of town to visit her family in their hometown of Toledo. She went out Friday, planning to stay for a night or two and then come back in time to go to Miami on Monday. Brian actually had dinner with his dad Friday night, and his dad had a great steak dinner. And his dad actually commented that he looked super tired and, like, almost running ragged. And I think he kind of chalked it up to, like, the emotional exhaustion of losing his mom and going through that. And then it being midterms and him being in med school.
That'll age you.
Yeah, so I think that, like, his dad, you know, was worried about him being tired. And it was probably warranted because Brian agreed that he was tired. But he wanted to get out that night with his friends and let off some steam. Brian met up with his friend Clint at 9 p.m. at the Ugly Tuna Saluna. Okay? I mean, just the name alone makes it sound like a super classy establishment.
Can we do a spinoff episode on just this place and the goings-on there? I just want to know.
It would probably be amazing. Everything I read about it was like, ooh, we sell syringes of vodka for $1.
Like, sounds like exactly what I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I picture like neon and jello shots.
Yep.
But either way. So it's actually, I want to talk about the bar for a second, not about the classiness of it, but like the location of it.
Gotcha.
It's in downtown Columbus. It's about 6 blocks from where he lived. So I would assume he walked in a world before Uber. So, it's in a complex with other establishments and a movie theater. There's essentially a street with a bunch of bars on it. I picture it like a college downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was at medical school at The Ohio State University.
Are there several? Like,
and, so, I actually Googled it. It's because when they first named it, they didn't feel like Ohio State was a prestigious enough name. So, they put The in front of it. And I've always laughed because I watch a lot of NFL football, and anytime they go there, they're like, The Ohio State University, or whatever. I don't even know it's university.
It worked. It sounds prestigious.
So either way. All right. So there's this bar. It's on the second floor of like a common building, like a shopping area, I guess. So in the middle of the essentially the entryway is a set of stairs and an escalator side by side. Okay?
Yep.
You get to the top, and it's like a common foyer, and the bar is to the right, and a movie theater is actually to the left.
Mm-hmm. So this is a busy spot, too. Like, there's a lot of traffic.
Oh, yeah. A lot of traffic. And it's the Friday of spring break. Also, it just as a side note, the area behind the bar was an active construction site. There were equipment and holes in the ground and all that. Which will come into play later.
Yeah, I don't like the way this sounds.
So anyway, so that's the Ugly Tuna Saluna. There they are having a drink. They get there around 9. Around 10, Brian calls his girlfriend Alexis just to say hi, make sure she got to her parents' house okay. Perfectly normal. Everything I've read about Alexis, that conversation was completely normal. Nothing was weird. Everything sounded great.
Yep.
At some point after the call, Brian and Clint decide to go bar hopping like down the street. And according to Clint, they took a shot at each bar they visited, which sounds like a terrible idea to me.
Right.
I don't know. I'd make it very few bars, but either way. So after midnight, they actually ran into one of Clint's friends. Her name was Meredith Reed. in the Short North District. And I did some Googling. It looks like it's about just shy of 2 miles from the Ugly Tuna Saluna. So what I imagine in my head is that they bar hopped down the street, and which 2 miles doesn't sound that bad when you're like popping in and out of bars and having drinks. But I imagine that when it's like 1 in the morning and you have to walk back, that's pretty annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume this is why, but Meredith ended up offering to drive them back to the where they started.
Yep.
So they all three head back there, and they all three decide to go in for last call, one final round type thing. Now, Clinton Meredith said that at last call, Brian said he wanted to go talk to the band for a second, which makes sense because he's super into, like, that guitar playing Jimmy Buffett lifestyle.
Yeah.
According to Clinton Meredith, he just never came back from that. The bar closes. Now, I couldn't actually find that the bar closed at 2. There was one Reddit thread that said it closed at 2:30, but everything else I read said it closed at 2, which makes more sense to me. But, I mean, imagine all the bar's closing, the lights come on. Basically, they're like, everybody get out. Bye. And then at 2:09 a.m., there's security footage of Clinton Meredith going down the escalator to the parking garage where Meredith's car was parked. It looks like they were, like, looking around and stuff. And They both have said that they kind of figured Brian just didn't reconnect with them and walked home. He only lives 6 blocks away. He's in his late 20s. Like, it's not like it's a group of 21-year-old girls that need to, like, stay together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'd be more annoyed than worried. Like, hey, we had a plan. Like, but I wouldn't worry, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would be that annoyed because it was last call. Like, your plan was to go home.
True.
You know? Saturday, over the weekend, a bunch of times, both his dad, Randy, and his girlfriend, Alexis, call him multiple times. No answer at all. So, of course, they're worried. But Alexis, from what I'm gathering, just kind of went, well, I'll see you Monday when we go to Miami and we'll deal with it then. So, Monday comes, and Brian does not arrive to the airport for his flight.
I can't even fathom, like, how furious or, like, or she could have been furious, worried, whatever.
Oh, right? I would have been mad at that point. Like, we're going to go on vacation, and you're not going to answer your phone all weekend? So Alexis calls his dad. His dad calls his police. Obviously, at this point, they're worried. It's been, no one has seen him since, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. So the police do the most logical things. They go to the bar and pull surveillance footage. They search the bar, all its dumpsters, and even got permission from the city to search the sewer.
So they worked fast.
They worked really fast. I got to give them credit for that.
Because, I mean, a lot of missing persons cases, as you know, like, there's a lot of dragging of the feet at the beginning. Like,
yeah.
Hey, this person's an adult. They can do whatever they want.
I agree. And I'm impressed that they handled it as quickly as they did. So they also started questioning everyone that saw Brian Friday night. They talked to his dad, Randy, and then Clinton Meredith. They also, because his apartment was located as close as it was, they went to his apartment and checked everything out, but nothing was there. Everything was in order, and Brian's car was parked in his parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
Then they asked everyone that saw Brian on Friday to take a lie detector test. His dad, Randy, passed. Meredith passed. Clint hired a lawyer. Now, everything I've read has said, oh my goodness, this means he's guilty of everything, all of the things.
Yeah.
Right? So, hold on. His lawyer made a statement that says, basically, it was his recommendation to his client to refuse a polygraph, not because he had something to hide, but because he already had given interviews. And let's be honest, I think we both would do what Cliff did. Get a lawyer, and if our lawyer said refuse a polygraph, we'd say, no, thank you.
Absolutely. Like, all the police have to do is come to the door, not even tell me what it's about, but if they said, like, hey, we have some questions to ask you, I'd be like, get me a lawyer.
Right.
They'd be like, you don't need one. I'd be like, yes, I do.
Right. They'd be like, we just want to know if your neighbor had their trash can stolen. I don't care. I need a lawyer.
That. Yep. Hi, that's me.
And that's why I don't think it's that odd. Because it's what I would do. Let's talk about camera footage. This is where it gets bizarre for me. So there's footage of them, including Brian, entering the bar at approximately 1:15 a.m., right? Which is what Meredith said. They met up after midnight. They drove back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna. They parked. They go inside.
Yep.
At 1:55 a.m., Brian is seen outside the bar talking to two women. And it appears to be just like a off-the-cuff random conversation. And then Brian walks back off frame, presumably into the bar. Now, I actually sent you the clip of this.
Oh, really?
Yep. Now, I want you to look at it and start at like the three-ish minute mark or whatever.
Got it.
Watch.
Oh, I got it.
Watch the footage for a second and then tell me what you think about it.
Oh, gosh, I'm nervous.
They highlight him, so.
Oh, great. Yeah, you described this perfectly, the escalators and the stairs. And I see the three of them, I believe.
Yep. Him talking to two women.
I'm at 3:19. This is when they're coming up the escalator.
So you saw him talking to the two women and then stepping off screen, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
That's it. Okay. So to you, did anything look weird or suspicious?
No, actually, when I first looked at it, I had to rewind it because it looked so natural that originally I thought you sent me footage of him and Meredith and what's his name, Clint?
Yeah, Clint. No, it's just two and him. And I took that to be like maybe he knows them from school or maybe there's random girls and he's just being friendly for a second and then steps back into the bar.
Yeah, I mean, it looked friendly. It didn't look threatening. It didn't look like there was a heated exchange, like two people talking, like nothing there.
Okay. Now, this is where it's crazy to me. Police were able to account for an ID every person coming and going into the bar all night, except for Brian. Everyone that entered the bar and left was counted for and numerically accurate by police. Now, I even read somewhere that there was a guy that went in and a different guy that came out that didn't match, and police searched for him, used bar tabs and ID'd him, and they found him, and he was like, yeah, I went in wearing a t-shirt and came out wearing a sweatshirt because I was cold.
Wait, so what you're saying is this bar was so good at their job of IDing everyone that they were able to literally provide evidence of all the people that came in and left the bar.
Yes. I don't know if they went so far as to ID every single person like that, but they would like say like, okay, girl in this outfit with this color hair, she goes in, okay, let's watch, okay, she comes out, check. Like, they went through every...
They're meticulous.
So police also ID'd in an interview the two women that you see in the video, and there's not a whole lot on this, which I actually chalk up to what I said. They were probably like, we didn't even really know him. Like, we just said, hey, how, whatever, and then he kept walking. Like, it wasn't anything.
Yeah, yep.
Now, there is a service freight elevator that's not on this surveillance camera, and that's the only other exit. But here's a fun fact for you. In 2006, Columbus, Ohio had the most surveillance cameras in the entire state, more than Cleveland, more than any other city.
You know, facts you didn't even know people kept track of.
No kidding. So police pulled the street cameras and recordings from multiple surrounding businesses, and Brian never appears on any of them after that 1:55 a.m. video you watched. So even if you take the freight elevator, they think another camera would have captured him in some way, shape, or form. So then the police do the next smart thing, in my opinion. They bring in cadaver dogs into the bar.
Oh, gosh, that's so scary for his family that just lost mom.
I know. Actually, I will say that, like, the bar, it sounds like, was super cooperative. They actually closed for a whole day to let police, like, tear it apart, basically. They brought the cadaver dogs in. No hits on anything.
It's a good sign.
So, and also, there was no cell phone usage on Brian's cell phone, and there was no credit card usage at all. So basically, he vanished from inside the bar. A month later or so, we're talking May 2006, there was a break-in in Brian's apartment.
Okay.
Now, police have said they do not think this is a connection to disappearance, just a crime of opportunity. But I'd like to know how they think that. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah.
Okay, so now September 2006, So now we're 6 months after he vanished from inside a bar.
That's eerie. That's impossible. Like,
Amy, it is absolutely not. I spent hours on going down rabbit holes on Reddit, being like, okay, I'm going to find something and go, oh, that makes sense to me. And you can convince me of every single thing. Like, it is absolutely crazy to me. But hang on, it gets weirder.
It can't.
In September of 2006, Alexis actually was calling Brian's phone every night before she went to bed just to hear his voice on the voicemail, which break my heart. Like,
that's the saddest thing ever.
So one night in September, the phone rang and didn't go straight to voicemail. And like, can you imagine the adrenaline that is pumping through her body in that moment?
I would throw up, just like I almost just did right now.
Right, like, what do you, like, at that point you're like, oh my god, is someone going to answer? So she called the police, obviously. Now, police reached out to the wireless provider, Singular, and they said they had a computer glitch.
Singular, oh my god. I haven't heard anyone utter that in like 13 years.
I know, I thought the same thing when I wrote it. They said it was a computer glitch, and his phone never actually turned on. But the ping was on a cell phone tower about 14 miles north of Columbus. Now, there's nothing about a search, and there's nothing about anything, so I truly think police believe that it was a computer glitch.
I would want to know, like, how rare, how often...
Amy, I have so many questions. Yeah, I mean, you and me both. So this is actually a really cool thing. Later in 2006, there was a Pearl Jam concert in Cincinnati. And Brian was obsessed with Pearl Jam to the point where he even had one of their cover arts tattooed on his body. And he had tickets to go, but obviously wasn't there. And Alexis actually sold their tickets because she couldn't go without him because she was like, this is too hard for me. And there's actually audio, which you guys can go on YouTube and look it up. Eddie Vedder actually takes a break between songs and talks about Brian's case and gives his description and gives the Crime Stoppers phone number and, like, wishes his family well. And, like, just a really sweet gesture.
Oh.
I just thought that was really interesting. Fast forward 2 years to September 2008. There was a heavy storm. I think tornado warnings. I mean, we're in the Midwest. And Brian's dad, Randy, went out into his yard to clear up and secure some things. And a strong wind blew through and blew a large branch from a tree into Randy, killing him.
Get out.
I just feel for his brother, Derek.
Get out.
In 2.5 years, you lost your mom, your dad, and your brother's missing.
What are the odds?
I mean, not very good. So, you know those online guestbook things that people post at funeral homes?
Yeah.
Someone wrote in the guestbook, to Dad, I love you. Love, Brian. From the U.S. Virgin Islands. So everyone kind of freaked out for a second. Because did he walk away from his life and just go live that island life now? So police immediately, like, pull the IP data. And, of course, it's some jerk at a public computer in Columbus.
I want to swear a lot in this episode.
I wrote in my notes, I really hate people. Like, I do. Like, how do you do that to a family? April 2009, and this is sort of my last bit of facts, the Ohio State University's newspaper.
Yeah, let's just be clear about which one it is.
Right. Published a quote from Flint's attorney. And I'm going to read it verbatim because I think it's that important. The quote says, if Brian is alive, which is what I'm led to believe after speaking to detectives involved, then it is Brian, not Clint, who is causing his family pain and hardship. Brian should come forward and end this. End quote. I feel like that's super ominous.
I don't know what to make of that.
Well, his brother immediately responded with, as soon as detectives started getting involved, that's pretty much when he had no contact with anybody. I have always thought he definitely knows something and just won't come forward with it. If Brian did take off somewhere, if this is the case, we just always had a feeling Clint would probably know that. So I feel like his brother is almost validating that, like, he could be alive.
Well, that just gets more bizarre.
The last thing I'm going to read you is on April 1st, 2016, which was 10 years after the disappearance, Detective Hurst, the lead detective, made the following statements. Is Brian alive? There is the possibility he is alive, but if you look at probabilities that he isn't alive, those are just as great. Was he murdered? There is nothing we have been able to recover that shows he succumbed to foul play. So again, the probability of that isn't as great as that he just walked away. Did he take his own life? Most people who commit suicide want to be found. I would probably say this is in the lowest category.
And that's all they were able to come up with 10 years later.
Yes. And also, just a side note, the Ugly Tuna Saluna went through a huge renovation. And they tore, like, walls down and, like, went through a lot of things. And still no body was found.
Wow.
I just want to put that out there.
Well, yeah. It's because it could be a rabbit hole. Like, what if someone hid the body? I mean, I've heard some strange things in the news.
I mean, it still is a rabbit hole. So I think that, like, there are three main theories and then a bunch of sub-theories within them.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is there's an accident. There's two main sub-theories within. Well, first of all, what do you think?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me. It takes a lot to sell me on walking away from your life. So I'm not thinking that. I don't know about suicide. I feel like it's hard to hide yourself.
Agreed.
I don't know why, since you didn't mention a whole lot of things that would have contributed to this theory, but foul play feels like it's got something to do with this.
Okay, so we're going to talk about accidents first for a second. There's two accidents. I mean, there's two theories within accidents. One, he somehow accidentally died inside the bar. And the staff or the band or together, they snuck him out through like a trash can or something. Now, for me, this feels very like I Know What You Did Last Summer. And like, I feel like being like, and what? They all made a lifelong pact and pinky swear and never tell anyone?
Right.
Like, how well does that go? A bunch of coworkers being like, all right, I swear we're not going to tell anyone.
And I also kind of feel like why?
Right.
Why would you do that? Just call 911.
Even if he got, like, overserved and somehow, like, okay, you're telling me that, like, someone dies inside a bar and everyone around them goes, yeah, we'll hide the body.
Right.
That makes sense.
I don't buy it. Nope.
I don't buy it, but whatever. There's one that's a little bit more valid. Could he have left out the back door and fell in the construction site somewhere? And I hear you. That's actually, like, I could understand why people think that. But then, like, where does the body go? Does he fall in a hole and they, like, pour concrete without looking?
Yeah. Can we get a construction worker on here?
I would hope people that are going to pour concrete look in the hole. But I would hope they at least look in the hole. You know what I mean? Like,
they must have some inspection stuff that they have to do, like, every day when they start their job, you know, on a site.
Right. I agree.
Because not just, like, bodies. Hey, watch out for a body today. But, like, there must be other things that they have to...
Like, what if an animal fell in?
Or what if other machinery was in the way or something?
Right. And yes, that's, like, one of the most popular theories in, like, the internet universe. But I can't... I understand why it's a popular theory. I just don't know that I buy in.
So, I guess I would wonder, like, I would wonder a little bit about the cadaver dogs and how much room they had to kind of explore and do what they do.
Sure. Now, I do know that the bar closed and they let them do whatever they needed to do within the bar. So I guess if something happened outside the bar, but then there'd be surveillance cameras because everything I read said the surveillance cameras are aplenty.
Mm-hmm.
I read on, I think someone said it, like, what if he went out a window? And I'm like, I feel like that would be noticeable on a surveillance camera.
Right.
Like, that's something, even if you weren't, like, paying attention, you'd be like, hey, some guy's going out a window. That's weird.
Yeah, that's true. But why, other than when you drink, you do things that don't make any sense, why would he go out the back door? Let's just say that he wasn't that drunk, which he did lots of shots, so I don't know.
Well, hold on. I like that you said that. The only person that's verified that he did lots of shots is Clint.
Oh.
Now, I'm sure they went and pulled, like, bar tabs, but, like, Can you prove that Brian took every shot that they ordered together?
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, do I think Clint knows something? Maybe. I don't know. But, like, I do hate stories where their narrative only comes from one person.
No, you're right. It makes it hard to cross-reference.
Right. Like, there's no... Sure, we know they went to all the bars. And I have no reason to doubt the police didn't go, like, look. But I just... That's only from Clint's mouth.
Right. That's a predicament.
So that's one of the foul play theories, is that Clint knows something. A lot of that comes from the polygraph, which I have already said. For me, it doesn't mean anything at all.
Right.
A lot of people think it does, so whatever. To each their own.
Mm-hmm.
The next foul play theory is like a random act of violence.
I do have to say something really fast, though. Like,
yeah.
With the luck of this family, I don't know, like, if he fell in a pit and somehow it was filled in with, I don't know, concrete or whatever.
True story.
The dad gets hit by a stray branch and dies.
Amy, I know. And I mean, I agree with you. You know, like, it's totally possible. I don't think he was murdered inside the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Between you and I. That's one of the theories, is, like, he was murdered inside the bar. Another one, and you're going to, this is why I was like, Amy's going to love this case even more.
Oh, yeah?
Is, have you heard of the smiley face killers?
You know, it sounds familiar, but I wouldn't be able to say I know anything about it.
Okay, they're serial killers that have a supposed group who attack college men who are successful, good looking, and drunk.
I have heard about this, yep.
Which would fit Brian to a T. Now, there was never a victim in Ohio, but there were ones in Pennsylvania and Illinois, which are neighbors to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement has dismissed this pretty quickly, but there are people out there that think this is what happened. Like, but then again, there's no body, and they always find bodies with them. But it's like, well, how do you know you found all the bodies? Because they're serial killers.
Right. That's really open-ended.
Like, did he leave the bar and then encounter a serial killer outside the bar? For me, he's in that bar somewhere, but he's not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not right.
Like, this video of him going in and not coming back out. And the last theory, and this is actually what the listener believes that submitted it to us, is that he's a doctor in Cuba or an island somewhere.
Really?
Like, that he just planned ahead, walked out of a bar somehow without being seen, and he's living that Jimmy Buffett life. He just couldn't deal with the stress of, like, losing his mom in med school and all that, and just decided, you know what, I'm out. And there's also a theory that, like, the apartment robbery was him coming back to get some things.
Huh. I don't know. Like, it leaves me with, like, a sick feeling in my stomach.
Right?
I would say, like, well, when you were talking about it, I was like, the only way I feel like people leave their lives and never make contact again is if they've, like, lost their mind. And maybe if this happened, the loss of his mother was just too great to bear. And it did break him.
And then maybe he wanted just a time away. And then when he wanted to come back, he lost his dad.
Maybe.
And he was like, well, the heck with it.
Okay, so let's talk resources. How would he have done that?
I have no idea. Truthfully, I have no idea. And, like, I just want to know, so did he plan ahead and, like, figure out how to get around the security cameras? Because he had to have done that. He's not on a security camera. So, like, did he change and add a hat and, like, sneak out somehow?
Are they absolutely positive that the security cameras would capture?
Every little thing I have read said yes. Everything I have read said they are leaning on security cameras. The fact that the city of Columbus had as many cameras as they did, and he was never seen on any of them. Police are baffled by that, which I am too. Like, I don't understand it either. How do you go into a bar and never comes out?
So this is in, like, a mall type, I don't know, like a stores. Could he have, like, slipped out a door that led into another business, or?
So in one of the things that I read, and this is only in one of them, is there were two other doors in the hallway, but both of them required keys. So now we're talking about, like, him either being attacked by someone with a key or bribing someone with a key to let him out. Like, and that person never coming forward in 13 years, even though it's been everywhere. Sure, if they killed him.
What if it was unlocked?
I think it was the kind that can't unlock. Like, you just need the key to pull it open. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just a guess. Like, I have read so many things until I'm blue in the face. And I'm like, I was talking to my husband about it. And I was like, this is like the worst joke ever. Like, guy walks into a bar and doesn't walk out. Like, I don't understand. How do you get lost in a bar? I mean, maybe this is your UFOs.
Could he get into the ceiling? Like, in the bathroom? But I'm not saying that he stayed there. I'm saying, could he have, like...
They did a renovation. They tore it down.
For what reason? I don't know, but, like...
And then never be seen on cameras again. What, stay there for 3 days and then come out when they weren't looking at cameras? Do you know what I mean? Like, sure. Let's say he was sober.
How much of the footage did they watch? Days of it?
I mean, let's just say he was sober, right? And he hides in the ceiling. How does he know when to come out to the point where they won't be looking at the camera footage?
Well, there's no security footage in a bathroom.
Right.
So if you went up through the bathroom and you waited until the bar opened, you could have just changed and walked out like anybody else.
So that would mean he disappeared. He lived an island somewhere. Like, you're buying him. That'd be the walk-away theory, right? I mean...
I don't easily buy into those. No, I'm not 100% convinced. I'm just trying to think about how it could have happened, if that's what we're going with.
Sure. And, like, I also think a band member could have put them in their trunk of instruments and brought them out with them. But, like, why? You're going to, what, like, kidnap him and put him in your amp box and then bring him in your tour bus? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, sure.
Right.
Sure, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for what? It's not like he was, like, rich or, I mean, people kill people for all the random things. So, I mean, I guess I can't say anything about that. But I'm just like, how does a person just go missing? How does he walk into a bar and never walk out again? I mean, do you like any of the theories?
Go back to the UFO one. No, I'm just kidding.
I hear you.
No, I don't. Nothing fits.
And I mean, sure. I assume the patrons at the Ugly Tuna Saluna may not have all been upstanding citizens. I don't know that for a fact. That's me judging it based on the Yelp reviews, which anyone that wants to lose an hour of their life but laugh really hard, go read the Yelp reviews of the Ugly Tuna Saluna in Columbus.
I'm totally doing that, by the way. No shame.
People are really impressed by their syringe shots and their jello shooters. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sure, could he have encountered foul play? I mean, yes, it's always possible.
So if we suspect Clint, for example.
Okay.
Motive. He went home at the end of the night.
Sure.
It's not like he went off and drove into the desert. And not that there's a desert anywhere near
in Ohio.
Right.
The desert of Ohio.
Right. It's not like he just drove and got rid of the body. Like, that doesn't fit either.
Right. And how do you get him out? How do you get... Let's say Clint did it.
Sure.
Let's say Clint killed him. How do you get him out of the bar without being seen carrying a dead body out of the bar?
Is there a basement?
No. There was a construction site out back, which had cameras, and there was the stairs, which you saw, which had cameras, and the escalators, which you saw, that had cameras. I'm gathering that it was not a, like a Wisteria Lane for you Desperate Housewives fans. It was not, like, the best neighborhood. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a city. And there are cameras everywhere.
I don't understand. I'm so frustrated.
I swear to God to you, I have read this. Probably, I've watched these videos more times than I can count. And I'm like, I don't understand. Did he just do like an Ijima genie thing when he like crossed his legs and bowed his head and was like, poof, disappeared?
I want to see all the security footage. Like, don't you feel like you want to comb through it all? Like,
yes.
Like, I need to make sure that you guys really did a thorough job.
Right. And I will say this. So the detective that was in charge, Detective, I know this because I've read it 1,000 times, Hearst, I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah, Hearst, has really made this a personal mission for himself. So he has been involved since day one and really, truly, like, invested himself in it. And I think he left no stone unturned. Now, does that mean that he like, a different approach wouldn't solve it? No, I think that possible. But I will say that I'm pretty sure anything he could have done, he did.
I'm sure he did.
I don't know. But yes, I want them to give me all, like, 40 hours of surveillance cameras on all, like, 38 cameras, and I'll watch them. And I'd like to know, like, tell me your methodology of counting every single person in the bar. Tell me that. How did you get that done?
He must have changed his wardrobe and walked out.
So did we convince you that he walked away?
No, I don't know.
I like how you started this with, it takes a lot to convince me that someone walked away. Okay, I think he changed his clothes and walked away.
It does. It does. At the same time, like, if I just go on imagining that, and then I think of this guy living his doctor-y life in Cuba or wherever, I'm like, I can't see that. I don't understand people who do that.
Yeah, but, like, also, detectives have said there's a possibility that he's alive. But if you look at the probability that he isn't alive, that's just as great. So detectives are saying, well, it's 50-50, guys. Like, I don't really know.
I mean, can't we really say that about anybody that we haven't seen in a little while?
Yes. Well, I mean, not anybody we haven't seen in a little while. There are a lot of people I haven't seen in a little while, and I hope they're still alive.
Right.
But yeah, no, and then I just think, like, okay, so when his attorney said that he believes he's alive, was that just a detective being like, listen, it's 50-50, we don't know? And the attorney being like, well, I think he's still alive then.
So are they saying, have the police said anything along the lines of, we do have some evidence or some knowledge, but we're not at liberty?
No.
Oh, okay.
There is nothing we have been able to recover that shows he succumbed to foul play, is the exact statement they gave.
All right, what do you think happened?
It also takes me a lot to believe someone walked away. And, like, it hurts my heart for his brother Derek and his girlfriend Alexis. Either he died inside that bar somehow, and someone got him out without seeing it, or he walked away. I do not think he walked out of the bar and then met with foul play. That's where I'm at. Like, I can rule out that. I think either he died inside the bar, and everyone in the bar made a pact to not tell anyone, like I know you did last summer, or he walked away from his life. Because I think that he would have been seen on surveillance cameras had he walked out that night.
Well, what did they dig up on his life?
No, like, super good kid in medical school, like, family man, loved his girlfriend, like, nothing.
It's like a prince.
Really, one of the best guys. And, like, did he drink? Sure. Did he go out and party? Sure. But he's a 27-year-old guy, like, in a medical school. When he was off, I give him, like, kind of free rein to go out and have a few drinks, because he certainly probably wasn't drinking when he was doing rotation and all that.
Doesn't sound like it.
But then I'm like, okay, he loved that Jimmy Buffett lifestyle, which, you know, not everyone. I think everyone at some point fantasizes about that. I don't know that I would leave my life for it. I don't know. Like, I have no idea how his mom's death really affected him. I don't know. I mean, I want to see surveillance footage for every single bar they were in taking shots at. I want to see how many shots he took.
Right.
If he took 14 shots over 3 hours, it's a little bit different than if he took 2 over 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because if he took 14 shots over, or let's even say like 8 or 9, like, do I think that he then changed and escaped his life? I mean, good for him if he can manage that much alcohol and then have the wherewithal to do that. You know what I mean?
I mean, good for him or not good for him. It could go either way.
Right. But, like, his phone's never used again?
Well, I mean, if you are leaving your life, then you would obviously not use your phone or your credit cards.
Right. But I do think that 48 hours of him missing is a lot of time for someone to do something to him. I don't know.
Hey, well, thanks for giving me all that, so I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, right? You're going to be on Reddit. That's what I did. I was, like, 3 hours deep in Reddit.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but you figured me out.
All right. So, everyone, please send us your theories, because I would love to know what you all think.
I have to know from people, how did this guy get out of the bar?
Right. Please just send us that. Tell us how he got out of the bar. That's all we truthfully want to know.
And if it's UFOs, just don't send them.
No, do send that, because we'll vote that. That's fine. Seriously, all of our social medias are Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. Please share it. Please let us know. We would love to hear what your opinions are. If I missed something, feel free to let me know. Seriously, I'm baffled. And Jessica, thank you for submitting this, but I secretly hate you. Because now I'm going to lose way too much time researching this.
I know, it's totally not over for me, just so you know.
Oh, it's not over for me either.
Yep.
In like a year from now, we're going to be in episode like 100 and something. And we're going to be like, all right, let's do Brian Schaefer Revisited.
Yes, and then we can bring all the theories to the table. And
I'm down.
And then we'll figure it out, right?
We'll solve the case. Mom, you hear that? I'm going to solve one. All right. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Megan Hutchinson.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.